After years of being enslaved by the Islamic State group, members of the Yazidi community have told the ABC that the return of Australian women with links to ISIS has been deeply traumatic. Two of the so-called ISIS brides who returned from Syria last month have been charged with enslavement and the use of a slave. The Yazidis are a religious and ethnic minority indigenous to northern Iraq who have been persecuted for centuries, with the 2014 genocide by Islamic State killing at least 5,000 people and displacing some 400,000. About half of Australia's 4,000-strong Yazidi community live in Wagga Wagga in regional New South Wales, where federal police held a community meeting last week. Natia Navruzov is Executive Director of Yazda, a global NGO representing Yazidi survivors. I spoke to her earlier this morning from Iraq. Natia, welcome to Radio National Breakfast.
Thank you for having me, Sally.
How concerned is the global Yazidi community about women who had links to ISIS returning to countries such as Australia, the importance of those women facing justice?
So Australia really became a homeland to the Yazidi community since 2014. Thousands were resettled, especially survivors, and they're currently rebuilding their lives. And you know, they found in Australia a safe place. So when the news of repatriation was made public, a lot of the Yazidi community members became very concerned for several reasons. One is that it's a community that is still very highly traumatized. The genocide happened, around 12 years ago. It's a very recent genocide. It impacted the whole community, men, women, children. Everyone was impacted. And then second reason, I think the news was a shock because it was so sudden. Of course, we have been seeing repatriations in other countries where people were brought back as well. But, you know, I think it was just something that people woke up with in the news, and that also affected the way the news was received.
This is the first time that anyone has been charged with crimes against humanity offences under Australian law. How difficult is it to prosecute crimes such as this?
So prosecuting crimes like this is very difficult, or although they're some of the worst crimes that humanity can experience, they're the hardest to prosecute. And one reason is that these crimes happen so far from where they are being prosecuted. So, you know, here we are speaking about crimes that happen thousands of kilometers from Australia in ISIS, in former ISIL-controlled areas in Syria and in Iraq. So access to the evidence is very difficult. Authorities like the Australian authorities cannot just go and investigate crimes in Iraq and in Syria. Iraq and Syria also, you know, for a long time were dysfunctional countries. And even until today, they need time to rebuild their judiciary, to be able to put in place efficient cooperation mechanisms with countries, to be able to provide them with the evidence. So that takes a lot of time. At the same time, ISIS members also concealed their identities, especially from survivors, by using war names. So a lot of the survivors can identify them physically, but do not know their real names. So this is also a reason why, you know, identification of ISIL members takes a long time. And then, of course, there's this whole issue of repatriation. So let's say a country like Australia has a survivor that has information on ISIL Australian members, then you also need the perpetrator, the accused, to be within the jurisdiction of that current country so that the prosecution moves forward. Some countries do trials in absentia, which means even if the accused is absent and presumed dead, but a lot of countries, you know, prefer to use costs and, you know, their judiciary to prosecute actual people who are present. So for those reasons, although some of these crimes are the worst crimes that can be committed, it takes a long time to prosecute them.
Will your organisation be involved in these cases, helping to gather evidence?
So YASDA was created, in 2014, 3 weeks after ISIL attacked Shingal. And since then, we have been documenting the crimes. We spoke to thousands of survivors. We, documented hundreds of crime scenes, including mass graves, with the idea to be able to share that evidence with authorities that are willing to prosecute ISIS members, not only for terrorism, but also for core international crimes committed against Yazidis. So over, the last decade, we have been sharing already evidence with multiple countries. We have supported at least 6 countries now that have prosecuted ISIS members for crimes against humanity and genocide. And Australia now becomes the 7th country to do so. And we're already collaborating with the AFP for a while, and we're supporting survivors. And that support doesn't just end at sharing evidence. We also provide holistic support. We have psychologists, for example, who support the survivors in such cases, because as you can imagine, it's a long and very difficult process. So we accompany survivors, we provide interpreters, we also provide cultural sensitive advice to authorities that are dealing with Yazidis for the first time. So the support we provide is very, holistic. And yes, Australia is also a country we have been supporting and will continue to support.
The Australian Federal Police held a community meeting in the regional city of Wagga Wagga in Australia last week, where the ABC spoke to members of the Yazidi community who said they felt anxious or unsafe about the return of women with links to ISIS. Is there a risk that Yazidis will be re-traumatised by these women returning to Australia?
Yes, I think the survivor community, especially direct victims, are already being re-traumatized. I spoke to some of them, when the news came out of this repatriation movement, and some of them told me that they had fled Iraq to feel safe and in Australia, and now they felt like the issue was following them and that there was security risks against them potentially. But most of them do also understand that the Australian, authorities are very capable and that they are taking steps to gather evidence against the returnees and will prosecute them to the extent of their crimes, not just for terrorism, but also, as you said, for the first time, Australia is charging people for crimes against humanity, which is huge. So I think there's this double feeling of course, the fear, but also the hope for justice.
Nadia, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.